you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to find John chapter 11. We are working our way through the book of John, and in God's perfect timing today, we're in John chapter 11. You may know the story as we get to it today about Lazarus, but one of the things that I love about doing the study this way, where we're working our way through each verse of this book, is that we get the whole context of what's happening. There are multiple dynamics that are taking place here, not just with Lazarus, but with many others. And so I pray that God speaks to you, that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart today about what he's doing with you in the midst of what may be going on in your life. Join me in John chapter 11. We're going to start with verses 1 through 16. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and of her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he heard that he was sick, he stayed then 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." This he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples therefore said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. Then Jesus therefore said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, therefore, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." So as again, you can see, there are multiple dynamics that are taking place in this story. So this is Mary and Martha and Lazarus. This is the story, or part of the story of them. You may remember the other parts of Jesus' interaction with them, but the focus this morning is on the element of Jesus dealing with Lazarus. So John here, the writer of this gospel, records that this is the same Mary, the sister, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Mary here is the same Mary who anoints Jesus' feet with an ointment and then wipes her feet with his hair. That doesn't even happen until John chapter 12. But in the discussion and the understanding of John chapter 11, as John writes this after the fact, he's able to remind his readers that in fact, this is the Mary, not some other Mary that others may be talking about. And someone then sent a message to them telling them that Lazarus, the one whom he loved, a friend of his, was sick. They wouldn't have sent that unless the issue was something of dire straits, that Lazarus was truly sick. This wasn't he has a head cold. This wasn't, hey, he's just not feeling good, he'll be better tomorrow. No, for them to send this message, it tells us that there's something serious is going on. But notice what Jesus says. This sickness in verse 4 is not about death, but it is for the glory of God as God uses his son. I want you to think about that with me for just a moment. This sickness, Jesus said, is not about Lazarus' death. Now, Lazarus is about to die. We already know the rest of the story. You'll see that in a moment. But he says the purpose of this whole thing is that God gets the glory. I want you to think about that with me for a couple of minutes. We'll come back to it, but I want you to think about it. So Jesus loved these three. That's clear. It's said over and over again. And so when he gets this message, he jumps up and he runs to Lazarus to help him. No, he stays where he is 2 days longer. You would think that if he really cared about this one Lazarus, that he would have left right away to go and be there. You see, Jesus, if we take the context of what was happening at the end of chapter 10, Jesus had left Jerusalem and had gone. Remember, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. The Jewish leaders did. He leaves there and he goes down to the Jordan River, right where it enters into the sea, to the Dead Sea. So he's right in the desert area, except for the Jordan River. And we saw in the end of chapter 10 that the message that he was sharing, people were believing in him as the promised Messiah. And so there he is doing the work of God amongst the people God is bringing to him. He gets word of his friend and he stays there for 2 more days. You would think if he really loved him that he would have gone. But remember what he said in the beginning here. This sickness, verse 4 says, is not unto death, but it is for the glory of God. Was Jesus lying? Not a chance. But he says this act, this story, this happening is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. You see, the Father is using the Son to perform what he wants him to do, and Jesus even says that. We see it in verse 9. He says that we need to walk in the light. He's not talking about the light. You and I understand that it's easier to do things in the light than it is in the dark. Just get up tonight in the middle of the night with no lights on and try to walk through your living room. The chair that you walk straight past every single time when the lights are on, somehow in the middle of the night, you've got to reach and feel where that chair is, like somehow it moved, because you can't see it. In the daytime, you don't even think about it because there's plenty of light. No, Jesus is talking here more about God's plan. God has a plan and Jesus is going to follow it in every detail, and that's what he's doing. He's not going because God had a greater plan for him in the desert where people are coming to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the promised Messiah. And he has time to go to Lazarus and Bethany and deal with that situation when the Father tells him to go, but not before. Notice the disciples here, probably like you and me, the disciples, it doesn't say which one, so you know they're all, or mostly in agreement. When Jesus said, okay, it's time for us to go to Judea, to Bethany, which is about 2 miles from Jerusalem, where Jesus had just left because they were gonna kill him, the disciples say, whoa, Jesus, don't you remember what just happened a couple of days ago? We were there and they wanted to kill you. Thus, they wanna kill us because we are your followers. We don't need to go back there. We just left there. We fled from there. Let's stay away from there. Let's keep our lives intact. But Jesus says, no, we need to go. And so he tells them that Lazarus has just fallen asleep. Now that word throughout the Bible literally means, in the context, it means that he has died. But they don't understand that. So Jesus has to tell them very plainly, John says in verse 14, hey guys, he's dead. But he says to them, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. You see, one of the things that's happening here is that Jesus is always trying to point his disciples to the Father. Remember, he's already told them a couple of times that he's going to die and he's not going to be around and they're going to carry on the ministry. They don't hear that because they've given up their lives, their livelihoods to follow him, and now he says he's going to die, but they're going to carry on the ministry. That's not what they had signed up for. But Jesus has a greater plan because he's following the Father. Jesus never makes it about him. God uses him, and God's about to use him again to do something miraculous in raising Lazarus from the dead. But again, it's not about Jesus, it's about God working through Jesus. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're one. They're not looking to get glory or acclaim individually. They're working together so that you and I have the opportunity to be in right relationship with God. That's the goal. That's what they're doing. So notice in verse 16, Thomas speaks up. His human nature, he can't help himself. And he says, let us all go that we may die with him. In other words, we're going back into enemy territory. He is not focused on what's happening. He's not focused on the details of what Jesus has in store through the power of God. He's instead focused on the details of his life that he thinks he's about to die. Aren't we just like that? For some of us, the storm is coming in and we watch every single update and every single forecast, and we're worried about every single detail of what may or may not happen. And that's okay to a point. But is our eyes on God? Because if the storm comes and you lose power, does that mean that God didn't hear your prayers? If the storm comes and a tree falls over on your house, does that mean that God doesn't care about you? Does it only mean that God cares about you if you come through this storm somehow unscathed? That God somehow puts a bubble over your house and there's nothing wrong? No. If that tree falls on your house, God is still God. If you lose power, God is still God. Those things don't change, but you and I tend to put our focus on the circumstances of life instead of on the God who can control the circumstances. And he can use, the Bible says, and we believe it, he can use any and all circumstances for his purposes and his glory. A man just died. And some of us would say that's tragic if we didn't know the rest of the story. But there is a tragedy to it. We'll get to that in a moment. You and I, in life, storms come. Do we focus on the storms and the damage that they may cause? Or do we focus on the God who's in control of the storms? And regardless of what happens or doesn't happen, we still keep our eyes on the God who can control everything. What if we lose everything? He's still God. What if nothing happens except some raindrops? He's still God. What if somebody loses their life in the storm? Does that mean God wasn't paying attention, that he looked away from that person? No, he's still God. And we have to learn to trust him. The disciples are following him day and night, yet they're still having trouble understanding that that's exactly what God is doing with them. Let's continue, verses 17 through 29. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary still sat in the house. Martha, therefore, said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she arose quickly and was coming to him. You see, Lazarus now has been dead for 4 days. Well, how can that be? Well, day one, Jesus gets the message. So he died that day. He spends 2 more days in the desert at the Jordan River ministering or being there. So there's day 2 and day 3. Day 4 is he travels there. Lazarus has now been dead for 4 days. And the Jews had come to comfort Mary and Martha because they lost their brother. Just like many of you, you hear that somebody's loved one has died, or a family member or a friend, and you respond to them. You express your grief. You may go and mourn with them. You may do something to try to help them in some way. They do the same thing. Because Bethany was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem, the center of Jewish life, then it was easy for people to come and be there. Martha hears that Jesus is coming before he even gets into town. She goes out to meet him, and notice her conversation with him. She said, "I know that if you had been here, he would not have died." She knows that he could have saved him. She says, "Even now, I know that you could ask God for something." Notice the focus is God and not Jesus, which is a good thing. And Jesus tells her, your brother's gonna rise again. And Martha says to him, I know that's gonna happen on the last day. But Jesus says to her, Jesus says, in the resurrection, I am the one who brings to life. And the life, he's also the sustainer of life. He's the one who gives us life and life more abundantly. Notice what he says the condition is to those who believe in me. They will live even if he dies. Talking about eternal life. You see, physical death isn't what we're supposed to fear. Eternal death is. Eternal separation from the Father, not believing in Jesus Christ the Son, eternally separates us from the Father in a place the Bible describes as hell. And he says, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says to her, do you believe this? Again, the focus is on God, not on Jesus here. She just said, I know that you could do anything and everything. I know you could even do it now. You could raise him from the dead. I believe that. Jesus points out there's a bigger understanding here. It's about the eternal rather than the earthly. And the only way to secure your eternity is to believe in Jesus Christ. And she says to him, notice the three things she says. She said, yes, I believed you're the Christ. In other words, I believed you're the Messiah, the promised one. I also believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that God sent you. You are the one that he sent to us, and even he who comes into the world. You are the one who fulfills the prophecies that were spoken long ago. You have fulfilled those. You have been brought into the world. You are God's son. In other words, she proclaims him as the Messiah, as the Savior, as Christ, Jesus, the Lord. She gives full confidence in him. Then notice what she does. She goes and confesses her belief to him, and then she goes and tells her sister Mary that Jesus is there, the teacher is there, and he is calling for you. Some people think that Mary was somehow not paying attention. She probably was just allowing people to minister to her in her grief. Martha goes out, Mary then goes out. Let's finish the story starting in verse 30 through verse 44. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And so the Jews were saying, behold how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of him who was blind have kept this man also from dying? Jesus therefore again being deeply moved within came to the tomb. Now it was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. So Jesus wasn't fully into town yet. Mary goes out and the Jews who are consoling her follow. They're worried about her. Maybe she's running to the tomb and we need to go and console her. Many of you have done that for loved ones before. You're around them, you're trying to help them. You don't know what to say, you just want to be there. When Jesus sees the sorrow, notice verse 33. When he sees the sorrow and the weeping, he too was moved. And the word there says that he was indignant. He was troubled. by what was taking place. Remember that Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully man. This was somebody that he loved. This was somebody that he cared about. He knows what's about to happen. He's God. But also because he's fully man, he is troubled, he is indignant, he is moved by what is happening. So he asks them where Lazarus' body is, and they take him there. Notice in verse 35, the shortest verse in all the Bible, Jesus wept. There were tears there. Not one, but there were tears, quietly weeping, expressing grief, expressing loss. Some people say that when a loved one dies, we should be strong, we shouldn't cry. Jesus did. It's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. If you're moved to tears, it's okay. God gave you those emotions. He just tells you to use them in the right way, to use them the way that he gave them to us. It's okay to be deeply moved. He came to the cave. That's traditional for the burials in the Middle East, even to this day. That's foreign to most of us. But the cave was some area that had been hewn out of a rock. Maybe it was already there or somebody made it. Most of the tombs that I have been in, maybe some of you have been in, usually there's a stone in the middle. Once you go in, there's a room. Jesus would have seen that Lazarus' body would have been laid there. Now, it doesn't say Jesus went in, but the stone was moved from the entrance of the cave. There his body would have laid until it had completely decomposed. Then his family or his friends would have come back and put his bones in a little cubby hole, so to speak, on the sides, where the rest of the family members would be buried as well. They didn't dig a hole in the ground and put them in the ground the way that you and I do. That still happens today in the Middle East and other parts of the world. So when they went to this tomb and removed the stone, this was a normal thing. The stench would have been very real. The dead body was there, was decomposing just as it was supposed to. Martha was worried about the smell, but Jesus wasn't worried about the smell. He was there for something bigger than that. And he reminded her that if she believed, she would see the glory of God. He speaks to the Father, and notice what he says. He says, I already know what you're gonna do because you and I already had this conversation. In other words, Jesus never did anything without the Father guiding him to do it. So he already knows, but he says the prayer to the Father because again, is the focus on Lazarus? No. Is the focus on Jesus? No. Is the focus on the miracle? No. The focus is on God, who is the only one who can give life and the only one who can take life. And so Jesus cries out and says, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus. He's bound and wrapped, and Jesus tells him to take it off. Why? Because he's alive. Lazarus is the only one who gets the bad end of this deal. And if we think about it, when a loved one is dying and they're a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're all saying, Lord, please heal them. Please take care of them. Why? If God's ready to take them, God's the only one who can give life, he's the only one who can take life. If he's taking them, isn't he taking them to eternity, to be with him forever? Lazarus is probably just finding his way around heaven and all of a sudden somebody's getting him to come back. You can imagine he's probably not too happy. Look, I get to go meet Jesus face to face. I'm in God's presence. And now you're bringing me back. We're not told anything else about what happens with Lazarus in the Bible, but he has to die one day. We're not told that he lives forever in physical form. He's got to go through all this again. But the point is that they're focused on God. Because listen to what 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 says about this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The bodies will rise. The scriptures are clear that if a believer dies, they're in the presence of the Father. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Not when I come back the second time. Not after you spend 1,000 years in some place that other people think may or may not exist. Today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, this was not about anything other than God. So more Jesus, what does that mean to us? Number one is you and I need to learn to take time to listen to Jesus. The disciples didn't listen. They were worried about themselves. You're taking us back to Jerusalem. We're all gonna get killed. They weren't focused on God's plan. They weren't focused on what God may or may not do. They were worried about themselves. They didn't take time to listen to Jesus. Mary and Martha, they both said, you could accomplish this. You can bring him back. Jesus eventually does that. I wish we had his reaction, Lazarus' reaction. We don't. The second thing is we too need to come to a place like he told Martha that we believe that he is, that Jesus Christ is truly the resurrection and the life. That spiritually we are dead without Christ, but with him we are made alive. In other words, we are not separated from the Father any longer because of what the Son did for us if we believe. The third thing is about more Jesus is there is absolutely nothing he can't do. Nothing. There's nothing that God cannot do. Again, as this storm comes towards us, we may just get some rain, and we'll be grateful for that. But it doesn't matter what happens or doesn't happen, we still need to understand that God can do anything he wants to do because it's about him. And if something unfortunate or something that frustrates us or something maybe even tragic happens, that doesn't change the fact that God is still on his throne and he is not limited. He is still God. And our role as believers is to serve him, not the circumstances. And the last thing is God's timing is always perfect. Why did Jesus wait for 2 days, a total of 4, to come and see Lazarus? Because God told him to wait. He never did anything unless the Father sent him to do it and told him to go. That's why he said we go in the daylight. We go when God tells us to go, not when we want to go. We saw his response. He wept over Jesus wept over Lazarus' death. He cared about him. And he's about to raise him from the dead, but he still cared. There's nothing that God can't do, and he does it in his perfect timing. Let's pray together. Father, we're amazed by your incredible power and who you truly are. Sometimes we limit you by our thoughts and even our own prayers because we don't seem to have enough faith in you. We allow the circumstances or what we think the circumstances may or may not be dictate how we feel. When actually, if we're believers, we should trust you in every single detail of the circumstances. So, Father, thank you for this example of how God is glorified and how you use Jesus to do a miraculous thing to raise Lazarus from the dead. But it wasn't just about Lazarus. He was fine where he was. This was so, as Jesus said to his disciples, so that they could believe in the Father. They could believe in God and trust him. Father, help us to trust you no matter what the circumstances of life bring at us. It may be a storm or it may be calm, but we need to trust you all the time, every day, no matter what. Thank you for your son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.